Hello everyone, welcome to Wine and Real Estate. And today I'm doing something very different. So I'm actually live on location, which I haven't done in years. And I'm here with Javier from ILA Legal, or ILA, like I would say it, unfortunately. So Javier, welcome.
Good enough. Thank you very much for having me, Francois. Like you said, I'm Javier Pacheco. I work for ILA Legal, sort of boutique law firm here in COCO, where you happily live now.
Yes. And you can see behind us, if you're watching the video interview, there's a few maps. We see Playa Panama, Playa Ocotal, and then up above, let me just move my computer. We see Playa Hermosa and Playa del Coco, so where we are. And Javier, where does ILA work? You go?
Yeah, well, it's clearly mostly Playa del Coco. Obviously, that's where our main office is located. But at the end of the day, you know, a client or a deal can come from anywhere. So we can work either, like you said, in Ocotal, in Hermosa as well, Panama, some deals even in San Jose, even in Heredia, we've had deals. So it's pretty much anywhere across the country, but mostly focused in the Playa del Coco, Liberia, Santa Cruz, Playa Hermosa area.
Okay. And in Costa Rica, that's very different. In Canada, provinces, you need a lawyer per province. Yeah. Or if you're American, you need a different lawyer in each state. So you're able to work in every province here. It's not...
Yes, exactly. I mean, it's not like you have a legal limitation as an attorney to work in any province, but you get to know the place, you get to know the people, yes. You get to know the institutions, which even in a small country can work very differently. Like the electric company in COCO, for example, is completely different from the one in San Jose. And so on and so forth. So yeah, but we like you said, we offer services for the entire country.
That's amazing. And so for people looking to invest in real estate here, that's your specialty.
Yes.
So real estate law and then corporate law. What can you talk us to us about why you would own in a corporation or a personal name? What are the ramifications and your recommendations?
That's a good question. It's interesting because people always ask us what is best.
Yes.
And that is not a generic answer we can give. We have to tell you, you know, do you plan on living down here? Do you plan on renting it out? Do you plan on using it with your children? If the answer is a more personal use, we like suggesting personal ownership to your name. Why? Because at the end of the day, you're the one that's going to be using it. If you fall down the stairs, it's going to be your issue.
Yeah.
But if you rent it and something messes up and there's potential litigation involved, which a lot of people get scared of, but it's a possibility, a corporation is best because the liability and the responsibility will be on the corporation, not to you, for example, personally, directly. So again, it's not as generic as people expect, but yeah, that's the very short of it to start off.
Okay. And then corporations here, I know different countries have different ways of structuring corporations. Mm-hmm. Canada, we don't do like in the US, C-Corps are not recognized by the CRA, Canada Revenue Agency. We have limited partnerships, we have regular corporations, we have trusts, family trusts, and different things. But here, there's like kind of two main types, I think.
Yeah, there are some very specific, pretty much existent for law school. But the two major ones are limited liability corporation or sociedad de responsabilidad limitada, or just limitada, and sociedad anónima, anonymous society. Their differences practically are just details and formalities. We usually suggest the SRL, the limited liability corporation, because it requires, or it can have just one representative, unlike the SA, which requires at least a board of directors of four people. And yeah, those are the two major ones. Again, I could get more in detail, but it's just legal babbling that doesn't really matter to the people investing in the country. So yeah.
And then for people interested here, so let's say I set up an SRL.
Right.
There are some requirements every year, which is not, we're not used to that. In other countries, you just file your taxes, you're done. You don't need to file this and that. Can you tell us more about what are annual requirements?
There are so many now, and I don't mean to intimidate people, but I have to be honest. That we divide them in the legal and the accounting side. On the legal side, we have the most generic one, which is corporate tax. Basically, all legal entities, regardless of name or type, have to pay a certain tax. Obviously, if you now run a business with your company, I don't know, you own a restaurant down here in COCO, your tax is going to be different from the one of a company that simply owns a condo.
Yeah.
But that's number one. We then have the, I guess, most confusing one for people from outside of Costa Rica, and even confusing for people from Costa Rica.
Oh, no.
Which is called the final beneficiary report. basically, the Banco Central, the central bank, requires every company to submit a form digitally of who the owners are. I think that part is easy enough to understand. But the difficulty is, since it's digital, you need a digital signature. I don't have one with me right here, but it's basically a little credit card-like document.
Oh, okay.
And it is only given to Costa Rican citizens, like myself, or someone foreigner, but with a residency card.
Mm.
So, for example, you bring down your Canadian passport, you can't get one. So submitting that is just one of the main obligations, like I mentioned, and the most important one. Obviously, then, if you own a property, a registered property, you have to pay property taxes. Which are yearly. You can pay them up quarterly, but there's a slight minimum discount if you pay everything at the start of the year. You save like a couple of bucks. So yeah, I guess I got another benefit. Ones I'm not going to get so deep into because they're accounting related are the inactive corporations form. So like I was saying before, there's a company that could possibly own a business, again, a restaurant, whatever. But if you just have it to own assets, a property, a car, assets from another company, you have to submit a form, again, to the tax administration, Hacienda, saying, you know, what these assets are.
Okay.
So, yeah.
And it's annual, I think?
Exactly. That is annual.
Okay.
That one and the final beneficiary registry, a lot of political parties have been trying to push for every 2 years, every five, every 10.
Yeah.
Exactly. Or just every time there's a change. So, for example, I own the shares and I sell them to Francois. He has to date it. But no luck so far. So far, it's still yearly. So, yeah.
And there's a fee for that as well.
Yeah. Yes. Well, we offer a main package basically to cover all your legal needs, the two first ones I mentioned, and the property tax payment. Basically, a maintenance package, we like to call it. It provides a proxy letter, which is one of the biggest benefits of having a corporation,
yeah,
in my opinion. Basically, a blank piece of paper that you can sign at home, have witnesses or a notary authenticated, and you forward us a scanned copy, and then we now have the power of attorney to do everything on your behalf. Unlike, I don't know, personal ownership, for example, you need to go to a consulate or come directly to the country. So it's just simplifies everything so much. Should I say the price?
No, we don't have to get into pricing.
Okay.
If you want pricing, call Javier directly, because I'm sure it varies. So
exactly.
Case by case and stuff.
With so many new obligations coming up, we don't really have a generic package. We'd have to look into your corporation, what you own, what you do, what you have, and then we can provide it. But rest assured, we can help you out with that one.
And I mean, it's so far, it's quite reasonable. So for those dealing in Canada or the US, you'll be pleasantly surprised. So that's as far as I'll go for pricing. okay, very interesting. There you go. A difference. If you own personally, you have to either come here physically or go to a consulate and be on Costa Rican soil in a way.
Yes.
To do certain things, such as, if I remember correctly, I think utilities and stuff.
Yes. Yes.
So that could be a big one.
Basically, the way to legalize a power of attorney, like we're talking, is getting it at a consulate. Obviously, it has to go through another process, going to the embassy, going through Casa Amarilla, the Yellow House, which is the common name for the exterior ministry in Costa Rica, where the ambassador's or consulate's signature gets authenticated. It's basically an inception-like process of authenticating signatures. And
that can be a lot.
Yeah, it can be a lot. It's not particularly expensive, but in terms of time, yes. So if you're in a hurry to close, if you're in a hurry to get your light back up, which everyone would be,
yes,
it's important to be aware of that. What a lot of people do is they leave someone up very close confidence with a sort of universal power of attorney or something similar, because it's just not reasonable or possible to be granting a power of attorney at a consulate and go through all this process at any given time. So that's also one of the major issues, why I suggest using personal ownership only if you're going to be here constantly or if you're just permanently moving down, because, I mean, a company can be really useful and a very good tool, but it's another expense. So those are the pros and cons you have to measure and that you have to be guided for the process.
Exactly. And here you offer a full team. So as you said earlier, you have accounting. So it's kind of a turnkey or full one-stop shop, which is really great.
Right.
Because people want to go to Tammy Sells Costa Rica. The logo's here. You go to Tammy Sells Costa Rica. You found this dream house or condo. Now you've decided personal or corporate. Most likely you're going to go corporate. And then what do you do? Because all these requirements, there's different dates and stuff. And I never know. I'm always like, oh, okay, there's this. Oh, there's that. Oh, there, oh my goodness. How do you track yeah. all of it?
That's right. So like the first one is playing, we have our legal team, Ila Legal. We have Ila Accounting, very clear what they do. And we sort of offer this unified service. We're actually updating it this year with the services I was mentioning to cover everything. So we're doing reminders of when things are coming up. And we're doing a full package, again, for the full services. So the beneficiary report I mentioned, the corporate tax, the property tax, if it applies, the inactive form. That has proven to be one of the best, I guess, business decisions the company has had. Basically, like you said, make a full one-stop shop to provide a full service and to keep the client engaged. I mean, I feel like a common mistake, not just an attorney, anyone can make, is not have a client happy and not give them the care. It's like, we closed on these amazing, expensive properties that gave me all these fees.
Yeah.
Talk to you in a year when you have to pay your taxes. That's not how it should work. I mean, you don't have to obviously be all the time with your client, but you have to dedicate yourself to them regardless of the property, regardless of the investment, and regardless of the obligations they may have. So I think it's not just being a good business decision, but something also that has allowed us to create a great relationship with the clients that have rotated through the entire one-stop shop.
Yeah, and let's hope, I mean, people that buy here usually buy more than one, or they set up a business, as you mentioned, like a restaurant or a hotel or car rental or some sort of other business, or they want to invest too. Right. So you want that relationship. I can email Javier and say, hey, I need help with my property taxes. But she said, oh, you need this, this, and that. I'm like, whoa, okay, that's awesome. I went, I got what I needed, and problem solved, instead of, okay, I got a call, book an appointment.
And exactly.
It takes forever. It's more of a relationship, which is very nice in the land of Pura Vida.
Yeah.
In Canada, it does happen, but it's more rare. Like, normally you don't meet a lawyer.
Really?
You do, but not quite the same anyway. I know I have some friends that are lawyers. They're going to cringe, but it's harder. Usually there's more assistance than layers. And then you finally get to the lawyer that actually knows something. It's tough. So that's great. So Ila as well has some exciting stuff. You're moving to a new office space and growing.
That's right. I mean, hopefully everyone watching and hearing can get to know Coco better, but we're doing a almost beachfront new office that hopefully is going to rejuvenate the Las Palmas area, which is precisely where we are, not in Center Coco. And it's just looking great. I mean, other than the accounting and the legal side, we also have a sort of sister company in business and property development. They're also doing some great, amazing villas that Francois or Tammy can sell to you.
Yes.
Again, almost beachfront, as for beachfront as it legally can be. And then also great others with great heights. You should know Alto del Cacique, and if you don't, look it up. And around there, there's also some great villas coming out. So it's looking great for Coco and, well, thus for Ila as well, but getting to develop the area together, getting to know more people, getting to develop bonds again and commercial relationships. It's just been great in those last couple of months.
And young people like yourself, like being attracted to Coco and creating the next generation.
That's right.
You mentioned something interesting about the office. So as close to the beach as legally possible.
Right.
Can you tell us more about that concession land, beach
right. plants?
I want to put my house right on the beach. Can you do that?
No, you cannot.
There you go. Why?
So there's the maritime zone, which is the strip of land located between the actual ocean, or, well, it applies to islands as well, but let's just stick to the beach
at
the
moment.
Exactly. There's the ocean, there's the sand, and then there's a 200 meter wide area, which is the, again, maritime zone. So that area will always, no matter what, belong to the government. You cannot own it under your name as a title, as you would, for example, a regular quotation marks property. But what you can get is a concession, a type of concession called maritime zone concession. Each one of those is administrated by the corresponding municipality. I don't know if municipality is something I should explain. If not, let me.
Yeah, I mean, because it's a bit different how it works here too. Like there's Carrillo Canton and town, and I don't know which is which.
So. Okay, so again, not getting too confusing and deep into it. Each municipality reigns over each canton, which is basically a township, I guess. And it reigns over that in regards to taxes, to cleaning, to administration, so on. So the municipality regulates the concession And what the person, the private entity, be it physical or a company, can get is, again, a right of concession. So you pay not a regular property tax, you pay a canon, it's called, which is a yearly tax or amount to have the right to own that concession.
Okay.
You can process it with a corporation, you can process it to your personal name. And something that unfortunately intimidates a lot of people is it cannot be registered to a foreigner's name fully.
Yeah.
Even under a corporation.
Okay.
The usual way to proceed with this is doing a trust, which is something like we could do an entire episode on.
Okay.
But just so you know, it's completely possible to have a structure that is legal, that is safe, and that is compliant, where you are the beneficiary and thus owner of this concession. So again, it's just the closest you can get to the sea. It's a prime location for living or for developing a business. And it's something that is not particularly hard to process. I mean, people get overwhelmed by the government terms, which I hate as well, don't get me wrong. But in terms of difficulty, in terms of requirements, and in terms of legal complexity, it's not really that complicated. It's something perfectly reasonable and easy to do. And even one of these developments I was telling about from our group, Mila, is in a concession and it's already registered and it's already in order. So it's just basically buying the right to that. So it's something, again, not complicated and with great, great business opportunity.
Yeah, because you're very close to the ocean.
That's right.
And there's a zone where you actually cannot build, isn't there? Like the first 50 meters?
Exactly. The first 50 meters are the one that basically where the sand is. Obviously, it will vary depending on the sand, on the beach. But the first 50 meters can never be used.
Again, it's always public land.
Exactly. It's always public land, public use. That's
actually something I personally really appreciate. If you've been to Mexico or Dominican Republic or many other countries, a lot of beaches are private. So you can't go to the beach. Here it's beautiful. Yeah. Everybody goes to the beach, the ticos. I was there on a Sunday and it was filled with ticos. I'm like, yeah, this is so great. Well, if you go to certain countries, there's the gringo zone and it's
right,
alligator.
Right,
and then, right. Then you go and the locals have a little beach. Here, it's public and it's more natural too. The beaches are kept very natural. It's not all concrete and paved and all that. So there is something beautiful about it. So from the first 50 meters, you can't build.
Exactly.
From meter 50 to 200, it's a concession.
Exactly.
And people, like you said, are scared. They think they're going to have their houses torn down
or
something. And what's the worst that can happen?
I mean, if you grab a piece of land without any permit and you just build over there, obviously, you're probably going to get turned down. I'm just going to get that out right off the bat. But the public institutions, the municipality and the ICT, which is the other main one handling concessions, are very aware of how it can be difficult to renew a concession.
Okay.
And if you already have an existing, concession, and it might be, the term might be close to being over, it's not like day one they're going to be there knocking on your door ready to blow everything up.
Yeah.
they're going to...
The wrecking ball is right there. Bang. Get out, you're kicked out.
It's proportionality also comes into play. I mean, dropping a building that's the living of people, that's being rented to people and generating for the zone is considered. So even if the term is legally over, you can still process the renewal of your concession. So renewals are something, again, even easier because even the municipality follows up with you 6 months before it expires to do something. If you want to keep it, to renew it. So it's possible, obviously, for something negative to happen, but the scenario is so unlikely, I wouldn't be able to even tell you what would happen.
Okay, well.
But I can tell you I don't think it's going to be turned down.
Yes, if you just go illegal. And that's another question I had for you, Javier, is I see a lot of properties, some don't have permits, like they didn't have building permits, there's water permits or water letters.
Right.
Can you tell us more about that? Because that's very foreign for investors.
That's quite a topic here. Usually we warn people, well, not warn, but we just let them know our due diligence can be slightly delayed because of the legal terms the municipality has for construction permits and the AIA, which is the main water company, but to issue the water letters. So these documents, a construction permit, like the name implies, will tell you if everything with a structure is in order. So, for example, you can own a property number one and you can build a house and a pool. But if you only have a permit for the house, your pool obviously is not in order, and it can get turned down.
Or a casita.
Exactly, like a small ranch, maybe, I don't know, for parties, whatever. I'm going to be honest, there, the possibility of something going south is much higher.
Okay.
Because, again, it's a matter of, like, come on, man, why didn't you get your permit? Yeah. It's not hard.
But you could be buying it from someone else.
Exactly.
Let's say you buy an existing house. Exactly. To you, it looks normal. But then your legal team will say, hey, this house was built, but they never asked for the pool, the rancho, the casita. So if you're buying it,
there you go. That's why the construction permit is probably the most important part of a constructed property.
Yeah.
That we have to check on our due diligence. And if we have to extend 3 months, we're going to recommend to do it, because we have to make sure even the pool, even the ranch, like you're saying, even like a stick, I don't know, is in order.
The fence or driveway, maybe.
And the water there is more important for something if you want to add a new structure or if you have a completely empty lot that you want to develop. So in order to get a construction permit with the municipality, you're going to need a water layer, which is basically a document saying officially that your property has access to consumable water.
I think it talks about occupancy, how many people can
there. How many people can use it, in what it can be used. So when you request it, you have to be specific. If you tell me we're going to just build a house, we're going to request it for a house, and then you're going to tell me, but also a pool, we're going to have to get a new one.
Exactly. The pool, you have to top it up. I mean, we're not in Canada, it doesn't refill on its own.
Yes, exactly. So again, I mean, like anything that's not legally in order, it can lead to some pretty big controversies and issues. But if you do everything right and if your due diligence is properly made, you can get an amazing property. And we always suggest doing a holdback, I guess.
What is the holdback?
Okay. So a holdback is basically a sum dedicated to something specifically that the seller, in this instance, will not receive until the condition is met.
Okay, perfect.
So let's say, for example, we're all in need to close. Francois needs to sign because he's leaving for Dubai for 5 months.
Yes. It's urgent.
Exactly. let's close, but we don't have the construction permits. Let's do a holdback. Because what if they're wrong? What if Francois buys into a property that's wrong? So let's leave, I don't know, a holdback for this example for $5,000 to solve the issues and to pay the penalties for having a construction with no permits. So again, going back to it, what we suggest usually if people are in a hurry to close is a holdback, or at the very minimum for the, at this point again, seller to start processing the right permits and let's close, and then we finish up the processing.
Okay.
But again, it can be a very big issue if it goes unnoticed. It can be a very big issue if people don't care about it and you don't prepare for it. But if it's checked, it's very easy to correct because, again, proportionality comes into play. I mean, are they really going to tear down a house day one because they don't have permits where people live? Come on, it's not going to realistically happen.
They're going to do some due diligence. Exactly. Is it built properly?
It's literally not going to happen because the municipality also has to complete some legal terms established by the municipality.
Yeah.
So again, it's just a risk that if it goes unnoticed or uncared for can be big, but it really wouldn't happen with us.
Okay. What about the will, international will? And this is something I will need. I don't have one yet.
Okay.
So I do need to get that done. International will, because people think, oh, I have a corporate will. I have this, I have that. How does that work in Costa Rica?
Okay. Well, wills are pretty open-minded, I guess, if you can say that about a piece of paper. Many people ask us to do one just for Costa Rican assets, which I find interesting. But the execution of the will is where a lot of people get intimidated again. You know, it's very easy to set up the document, to write down my heir is going to be my children, it's going to be my grandchildren, it's going to be my sister, whatever. But opening it up, if there's contingency, you know, if people are pitted against another, I know, a brother and a sister, it has to go to court, and that's where it can take years. I don't mean to discourage people, but we've seen 10 years.
So a will can be debated or something in court.
Yeah, exactly. People can debate the legitimacy of a will. But if everything is fine and everything is in order, and once the will is proven to be right, it's handled by a notary, most likely, which makes it more easier. So notaries for us are not like in Canada, where I don't mean to sound disrespectful, but basically only authenticate signatures, right?
Yes.
Notaries here grant the deeds where you can transfer a property, where you purchase a car, where you create a company, where you set up something, and they can be the ones to grant a will. So a notary can also process the succession process of a will, and that takes some time. I mean, it can take a while because, like anything relating to law, there are legal terms you have to fulfill.
Yeah.
But it's much easier than not having a will and then just going to a judicial succession process.
Okay.
So it's not something expensive. It's not something hard to make. It's probably going to require your eventual heirs to come down to the country to sign a couple of documents.
Okay.
But that compared to years of litigation, I think it's
worth it. And it's a nice, nice trip. You come here.
And you get to visit at the very least.
Enjoy the beach, have some quality time, a few margaritas, and they're going to sign.
There you go. Well, sign before the margaritas.
Yeah, you can't really sign under influence. So it's not like a lot of people think they have visions of southern countries where everything is relaxed and doesn't add up, but it's actually quite, you're very structured how things are done. I mean, the law is very clear. Maybe their process is slower, but it's very clear, and it makes a lot of sense. It's not a banana republic like my dad would say.
You said it yourself. I mean, the law is very clear. Yeah. Obviously, when you're dealing with people, before you're dealing with the law. So terms can get confused. People can get confused, and the terms might be extended. But at the end of the day, just following the law, which is not particularly complicated, is different from what a lot of people know, is going to ensure a smooth and easy stay in the country, and a smooth and easy purchase in the country, and a smooth and easy sale in the country.
That's very important, because what, like I always talk about exit strategy, you purchase and everything, how do you get out at some point? Because you might want to move elsewhere, or who knows where life will bring you, so you need to be prepared.
That's right.
And your team can help with that as well, like buying and selling. And
that's right. I mean, frankly, many deals we deal with are sales, because like you just said, like the people that bought 5 years ago maybe don't want to be here anymore. Maybe they want to move with their grandchildren back home, whatever. And the process is even easier. I mean, you basically in short and simple terms, you just have to help the buyer's attorney, which is the one that's going to be doing the due diligence for your property in this case, get everything. And if you have anything already available, it's just going to speed up the process. We like always, for example, when a client tells us, I'm thinking of selling, that very moment,
we start requesting
the documents. Exactly. We hit go and start the construction permits or the water letter, whatever it is, to provide it as quick as possible, to make the due diligence as quick as possible and the leaving as quick as possible, because that's what many people want. I mean, sellers, I think, are usually the most interested in selling.
Yes.
That's why they're selling. And the legal documents are also pretty easy. I think we have time to get into it a bit. When you own under a corporation, there's an article in our commerce code, which is 32-TER. TER means like 32-3, basically the third main part of that article. And it says that in order to protect the minority owner or the minority shareholder, you have to legally, in the legal books of your company, agree to the sale or to the purchase or to the mortgage or to the trust, many other, you know, transactions. And that's essential for notaries to even be willing to grant the transfer deed. And then we go back to the proxy letter I mentioned at the very start. We just basically can sign that, and we can do this 32-TER authorization to sale. And we're good to go. Exactly. We can also add a power of attorney, which is many people do. Obviously, they have already maybe left or they're on a trip or whatever. And then we include a power of attorney. And this applies both to purchasing and selling to members of our office, to myself, to maybe one of the other attorneys, one of the paralegals. And then we can sign on your behalf. Many people get concerned. Sorry if I'm getting too into it. But many people get upset or intimidated with this power of attorney because they think,
you're just going to use it. You're going to go shop for your new Lamborghini.
It's unlimited. And I'm going to go get a credit card, I don't know, for $100,000. No, the power of attorney is called a special power of attorney, which is the law defines as a power of attorney for one specific act. And that act is going to be, well, purchasing or selling. So you can only do that. Maybe, I don't know, let's include signing a closing statement. Let's include signing a rent agreement, whatever. But it's very, very limited. To the acts the person can do.
and it needs to be documented.
Exactly.
And proof, and the client agrees beforehand.
There you go. Then, I mean, you'd have to sign the proxy letter, have it, like I said, with two witnesses or a notary authenticated. It basically, if someone wants to do something illegal with a special power of attorney, they have to go through more trouble than it's worth.
Exactly. Well, that's amazing. Thank you so much, Javier. I know this was quick, but in a nutshell, it gives us a bit of an idea of how the purchasing and selling and working in Costa Rica with corporations and real estate works. What's the best way to get a hold of ILA Legal and Accounting?
Okay, well, you can look us up like that, ilalegal.com. You can also look for us on Instagram, LinkedIn. You can just email me directly. Well, I don't know if you can add the text, but
sure.
jpacheco@ilacere.com. And like Francois said, we specialize in real estate law, but can also help you with concessions, can also help you with corporate law from the accounting side. And with your development. So yeah, be sure to contact
us. That's, and ILA is ILA.
Yeah, so there you go. I guess you're going to add the text, but yes, ILA, you can see there.
The there you go. Wonderful. Well, thank you very much, everybody. Yeah. And we'll have to catch up again with Javier, maybe in the new offices.
Hopefully
you have a nice meeting room and we can show it around.
Amazing. Let's do it. Thank you very much, François. Great talking to everyone.
Pura vida. Cheers.
Pura vida. Bye.